You know, the last couple of weeks, well, when we were out at Rhema, just the whole idea of faith kept hitting me. And so this is probably going to be a two-parter because somebody's wife spoke today. I'm not going to say anymore. I wish she would speak. Anybody want her to speak more? I do. I want her to speak more. So encourage her today. So anyway, but we're going to be talking about faith. This might be a two-parter. Oh, one other thing I wanted to say before we get going. It wasn't in the bulletin, but on the 23rd of this month, get every friend that you have, friends that you don't have, strangers that you meet on the street. As you're driving here, if you see somebody walking down the street and you know it's church time, grab them and put them in your car and bring them to Life Point Church. We have somebody speaking on that day because Carrie and I aren't going to be here. But we have somebody speaking that day that you're not going to want to miss. Kevin Ashby will be speaking that morning. Kevin's right there. He's going to be speaking on that Sunday morning. You're not going to want to miss it. And like I said, bring all your friends, bring all your relatives, bring everybody that you can think of to this place here because I believe it'll be life-changing. Carrie and I are going to be in southern Indiana. She has an uncle that she's very close to that is having his 90th birthday, and we want to be a part of that. And so we're going to go to Indiana and be a part of that. So anyway, we're talking about faith. What is faith? I mean, a lot of people think of faith, and you think of it as, well, I've got faith. Faith in what? To me, faith a lot of times can be used as a church word, when really, what is faith? Well, I heard one guy define faith as an unquestioning belief or trust that does not require evidence or proof. You just believe it because somebody says it. You don't have to have proof that what they're saying is true. You just believe it. You don't need evidence. When you go into a court of law, you better have evidence going into a court of law. Otherwise, you're not going to win the case. But when it comes to the Word of God, and when it comes to the promises of God, when it comes to Jesus and the things that He's spoken, we don't need to have somebody say, well, it's this because you have A, B, and C, and you need to know why. He said it, I believe it, that settles it. That's the end of it. Now, I want to read something here, and I don't normally read something that I saw this last week, but I want to read this because I think that a lot of people can relate to this. And it starts out, faith. It's something most of us struggle with at various points in our lives. Anybody ever struggle when it came to their faith? Believe in God for something? Sometimes it seems like the physical, the natural things seem so real, they're coming down on you so heavy that it's like, God, where are you? Because what's in front of us, what we can see, what we can feel, what we can smell, all those things can seem more real than what the Word of God says. It's something most people struggle with at various points in their lives. Where would you say your faith is today? Is it on fire, ready to rival even the brightest fireworks, or has it cooled off? This person's saying, if I'm being honest, some days I'm looking for a match. It's low. Some days I'm looking for a match. It's not that my faith is absent or even wavering. It's more like I'm worn out. I've been walking through some dark valleys for a few years now, and at times my flame starts fading. Not because God hasn't been with me every step or given me exactly what I need, but I'm just tired. Anybody ever been there? You're just tired. No, I'm a man of faith and power. I've never been there before. Quit lying. I've had days where my faith is on fire and the stress and uncertainty of life doesn't faze me. I've also had days where I've had to fight for my peace from the moment I open my eyes until I lay back down at night, that night. And sometimes those days are back to back. But no matter what the day holds, I always go back to this foundational truth. I can trust God. Or I can have faith in God. I can believe what God has said. I can count on the promises that God has made. I can have faith in God. I can trust God. This valley won't last forever. There'll be joy in the morning. You know, we often speak of faith as something not connected to God. It's a church word. I've got faith in God. What does that mean? Well, I've kind of said what it means. What does it mean? I got faith in God. I believe what he says. I trust what he says. I turn to him when I'm going through this valley. And I can count on him. Title of my sermon, Faith, Trust versus Fear and Uncertainty. You get to choose. If you didn't know, that's a lion on that side. And I'm not sure what this guy is over here, but it looked like he was kind of uncertain. He was a little fearful. The fear says, what if? What if I lose my job? What if my kid goes and does something nutty? What if my kid goes and does something crazy? What if? Well, faith says, even if. Even if something happens, I still trust God. I trust in God. We sing that this morning. My Savior, the one who never fails. You know, I think about, you know, in the passage where the disciples were in the boat and the storm was raging and they were fearful. They thought they were going to die. Jesus, don't you care? We're about ready to die. What's he do? He gets in the boat and he says, peace be still. Faith speaks. Jesus knew that when he spoke that that sea was going to calm. The winds were going to go away. When we're talking about faith, we need to know what the promises of God are with regards to the situations that we're going through, and we're not going to know what the promises of God are if we're not in the Word, which is the promise to us. If we're in the Word and we know what it says about the situation that we're going through, we can stand up on the bow of that boat and say, peace, be still. And whatever it is you're going through has to cease. It has to calm. And it's not anything that you're doing that by your own willpower you're doing it. No, you just do what Jesus said to do, and he's the one that's responsible for the results. But you got to have faith in what he said. If he says that you can speak to things, speak to them. Never run at your situation, your mountain, your giant, whatever it may be, with your mouth shut. Some people say you talk too much. Well, that's a good time to talk. Anybody talk too much in here? I was watching a disc golf tournament. Watching a disc golf tournament. And they got these two announcers on there. They talk all the time. Just let the person shoot. And so I've started watching it with the volume turned down so I don't have to listen to them talk all the time. But trials and hard stuff, attacks, they'll come. John 10:10. You know, we need to define who our enemy is. And find out what his purpose is. Then we recognize who's attacking us. And then we can exercise our faith. In John 10:10 it says, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. Okay? If it's something that's stealing from you, if it's stealing your peace, if it's stealing your joy, if it's stealing your finances, if it's trying to destroy your family, if it's trying to destroy your livelihood, we know that that's the devil. God would never take you into a hard spot. He's not going to, well, let me take some of your money from you because I want to teach you a lesson. God's not going to do that. He's not going to make you sick. If God is the one, if you break your leg and you believe it was God's will, then why are you getting a cast put on it and why are you going to the doctor? Lay there with a broke leg because he's teaching you a lesson. No, that's not how God works. That's the devil who steals, kills, and destroys. But if you look at the second part of the verse, so we know that's who our enemy is. We've defined who he is. He steals, he kills, and he destroys. So you know that's your enemy. What's the second part of this verse here? God says, my purpose, okay, this is God now. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. So everything that's opposite of what the devil, his purpose is, that's what God's purpose is. He wants us to live rich, satisfying lives. Give us life and give it more abundantly. So we don't have, we've identified who our enemy is. Now we've identified who our Savior is. Weapons will be formed against you. If you're a believer, weapons are being formed against you. If Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, he obviously has weapons that he has formed against you. Now, how does he often form? What's the weapon he mostly uses? Your thoughts. He's not coming at you like we picture most of these pictures of the devil with the big old horns and the big tail with a little spike on the end of it. He's got a sword and he's got big old claws and fangs. That's not the devil. He's not going to come at you with a big old sword. He's going to come at your thought life. Well, what does the Bible say about your thought life? It says that we're supposed to renew our mind to what? To the Word of God. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And the way that we renew our mind is by the Word of God. If we've got our mind renewed by the Word of God, we find out who God is, we find out what His promises are, so that when trials and tests do come, we can have a confidence, a knowing, a faith in what He says is true, that we can go and face that situation, open up our mouth, and say, I resist you, with the Word of God coming out of your mouth. Whew, that verse just came to me. It says, submit to God, resist the devil and he'll flee. So if you're submitting to God, you're submitting to Him, His ways, His word, and His way of doing things. And you operate that way, and the devil has to flee. How did Jesus deal with the devil? When he went and was tempted into the wilderness, he said, it is written. Devil tempts him again. He says, it is written. He kept coming back with the Word of God. That's how we need to have such a faith in the Word of God that it is so true. That what He says is so true that when it comes out of our mouth, boy, it's active. It takes care of everything that it was meant to take care of. That's what the Bible says. It'll go out. It won't return void. It'll do what it was supposed to do, and it'll prosper in everything it was supposed to do. When the Word of God comes out of our mouth. But we have to have a faith in what He said. Well, we need to spend time with Him. We need to know what He's saying. It says here, weapons will be formed against you, mostly thoughts. In Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17, it says, no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. So weapons are formed against us. The Bible says weapons, no weapon formed against me will prosper. The devil has weapons, mostly our thoughts, that he has formed against you. But if you are a believer in God, he says these things aren't going to prosper. And every tongue that rises against thee in judgment shall be condemned. And people who like to talk about other people, better watch out. We Christians need to watch what we say about other people. Anyway, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Any servants of the Lord in the house? So what's your heritage? Weapons formed against you, they're not going to win. People who rise up against you, speak against you, they'll be condemned. This is your heritage, the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. In Luke 10, 19, we're still talking a little bit about our enemy here. Luke 10, 19 says, behold, I, Jesus, give unto you power or authority. Can you imagine that? Jesus has given believers in this room here. You have authority. As a believer, you have authority. This is a part of the faith. You get into the Word, you see what it says about you. Like, oh, Jesus said that about me? I have power. I have authority. Whew, let me walk that out. Behold, I give you unto you power or authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions, devils and demons, things that try to come against you, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. If the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus says, I've given you power and I've given you authority that nothing the devil tries to do to you can hurt you. Whew. I want to operate that way. I am operating that way. Attacks will come. But when the attacks come, that doesn't mean that Satan has entered the believer. They got a demon on the inside of them. No. If you're a believing child of God, he can't enter you. He can't. Now, he can try to oppress you, come against you, cause thoughts to come to your mind. But what did we just read in Luke 10, 19? You have authority over that. You have authority over that. Faith, trusting God, his way of seeing and doing, helps us to see where our help comes from. In Psalm 121, sometimes we're like, no, I just need help. Psalm 21 tells us, it says, I look to the mountains. Does my help come from there? There's a question mark at the end of that. See how does it come from there? Or you could read it this way. I look to the preacher. I look to the counselor. I look to the friend. I look to the book that I just read. Does my help come from there? I believe they can assist. God may use them as an assist, but that's not where your help comes from. Verse number 2, my help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. That's where my help comes from. These verses should be encouraging your faith right now. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you don't know which way to turn, man, go to the Word of God. It'll encourage you. It'll encourage your faith. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. My faith or my trust, my belief is in God. My faith and my trust is in his word. My faith and my trust is in his promises. My faith and my trust is not in people. My faith and my trust is not in a government system. I want to say, I don't want to mess up. Ronald Reagan said, 9 words you want to be careful of. I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. My faith or my trust and my belief is not in the government. It's not in a system. My faith and my trust is not in my best friend. My faith and my trust is not in my preacher. Although I'm not going to try to lead you astray, I'm going to try to help you. My faith and my trust isn't in my pastor. My pastor is Pastor Hagen. But my faith and my trust is not in him. My faith is in God. My belief and my trust is in God. He's the one that I turn to in everything. When I need help, I turn to him first. When I need help, I don't think, who can I call? I need to get a prayer chain started. Now, the Bible does talk about praying together. But my first thought should not be, who can I turn to or what can I turn to first? My first thought is, man, my faith is in God. My belief and my trust is in God. That's who I've got to turn to first. There's no other person who can bring me out of this junk, and most of the time, junk that I put myself in. But you know what? Even though you've put yourself in a mess, he's still willing to say, hey, come here. Let me help you up out of that. He says in his word in Hebrews, says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. So if you believe that and you can have faith, if you can have a trust in that, it's like, man, you can walk down the street and no matter what's going on, you know Jesus is right there with you. Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Doesn't matter. God said he came to give me life and give it to me more abundantly. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Doesn't matter. The Bible says that I've been given authority over him, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. Can you sense the faith in this? Can you sense that, you know, when we speak out the word of God and we act upon the word of God, that there's nothing that we can't overcome? Nothing. Well, I've had hardships in life. Well, yeah, we've had hardships in life. I've had hardships in life. Had a cold try to attack me this last week. My nose was a little clogged up. But I said no. The Bible says you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Anybody ever laid hands on themselves? I went to bed that night sleeping with my hand right here. Came to church on Wednesday night, preached on Wednesday night, and they'll tell you, I was preaching long, and I said, you know, my nose was clogged up, but I don't feel it clogged up right now. Now, anyway. When I need help, I turn to him first. I talk to him first. Why? Well, let's look at verse 3 here. He'll not let you stumble. God won't let you stumble. When you turn to him first, when you look to him for your help, when you know what his word says about the situation that you're going through, it says that he will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. And I got a visual when I was reading that. I'm kind of visual. Sometimes my visuals are a little wonky, wacky. But I got a visual here. Life. Now, I'm not saying this is how it works. This isn't Bible. This is just something that came to my mind. You walk up there to the pearly gate. Hey, St. Peter, I need to see Jesus. I got something going on in my life. Well, can you come back in about 3 hours? He's taking a nap right now. Now, I will say that when you take a nap, some of these people who say, I can take a 10 or 15 minute power nap, and I feel great after that. I need about 2 or 3 hours. That's a nap. That other thing is just enough to make you mad, sleeping for about 10 or 15 minutes. But no, we have a confidence and we have a faith and we have a trust that he doesn't sleep. He's always, his mind, his thoughts, his eyes are always on us. He's always listening to what we have to say. He's always, okay, they're going through this. If they just say something, man, I'm ready. I'm ready to take care of that situation. But he's saying, no, we have a confidence, we have a faith, and we have a trust that, verse 5, the Lord himself watches over you. What did I just say? He's always got his eyes on you. He's always got his ears open to what you have to say. He's always leaning in. It says, the Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. These verses, as I'm reading these verses here in Psalm 121, man, that's a chapter you ought to read a few times a day. But as I'm reading these here, it should be encouraging you. It should be encouraging your faith. Here's what the Lord says about me. Here's how the Lord looks at me. The Lord himself, he watches over you. The Lord keeps you from all harm. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go. Wherever, whatever's going on in your life, he watches over you. This should be encouraging to you verse 8, the Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever, all the time. Bible says he never leaves you or forsakes you. He's with you all the time. Faith trusts and turns to God. Fear is uncertain and turns to something other than God. In Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10:38, it says in all four of those passages, the just shall live by faith. The just, your life, if you're a believer, you're justified, you've been redeemed. The just shall live by believing what God said, trusting what God says, and acting on what God says. As a believer, that's how your life is to operate. Do you know what God says? The way you know what he says is through his word. Spending time in the word. Living by faith in God and his word and his way of doing, you win against every attack. Attacks are coming. Weapons are being formed against you. But if you're a just person, a believer, and you're living by faith, those attacks are like nothing. So, where does your faith come from? How is your faith built? How does faith come? The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? And hearing by the word of God. Some people pray, Lord, I just need more faith. You can't pray for faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you want your faith to increase, if you want your what the promises of God to be more manifest in your life, then you need to read his word, meditate on his word, speak his word out of your mouth, and act upon his word. God is a God of faith himself, and he demonstrated it in his word. We're going to look at Hebrews 11:3. I'm going to touch on this real quickly, and then we'll touch on it again next week because we got to land this plane. I am looking at that clock, and that clock is slow, just so you know. I wanted to say it's 7 minutes slow. It just gives me 7 more minutes of preaching time. But I thought, nah, I don't want to deceive the people. So we'll keep moving here. In Hebrews 11:3, New Living Translation, it says, by faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. That what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. So we can look at this verse in two ways. Maybe you haven't, the second way I'm going to mention, maybe you haven't heard it this way before. I'm going to put it out there for you to chew on a little bit. By our faith, the first one here, by our faith, we can understand. We can have a belief in what the Word of God says by our faith that the universe was created by the spoken Word of God. We can look at it that way. And most people read it that way. But look at it this way. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. In Mark 11:22, it says, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. So, by God's faith, believing that what he said, that when he spoke it out, the universe was created. God operated in faith? Wasn't that what faith is? You believe what, in our case, we believe what God said. We speak it out, expecting it to happen. God spoke it out, expecting it to happen. That's a demonstration of what faith looks like. He says, look at this. I'm going to speak this. Boom, there it is. It's a demonstration of faith. And we're going to look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3. Then God says, let there be light. And there was light. Oh, I want to go so far ahead in my notes here. And I'm going to say one thing a little ahead in my far ahead in my notes. In John chapter 14, it says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me, any believers in the room? Okay. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I've done. Ah! And even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask, you can say, you can speak anything in my name. Now, nothing crazy. He's talking about the works that he did, so he's not off doing some crazy stuff. Not in line with the word. It says, you can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. So that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me anything in my name, and I will do it. He's telling us that we can ask, we can speak, and there it is. Well, what's happening here in Genesis? God is speaking, and there it is. Then God said, let there be space between the waters to separate the waters in the heavens from the waters in the earth. And that's what happened. Now, this is the New Living Translation. Then God said, let the waters beneath the sky flow together into a place so dry ground may appear. And that's what happened. Do you see this happening here? We're to do the same thing. We speak and it happens. That's faith. God's saying that we can ask for anything. So if we have faith, believe what he said, believe in what he said, a trust in what he said, then we can speak and it will happen. He says to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. He says that believers, this is in Mark 16, 15 through 18, says that you can cast out demons. Man, the church doesn't want to hear that today. Demons are scary. That's not real. Well, he wouldn't have said it if it wasn't real. Then God said, let lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them be signs to mark the seasons, days and years. Let these lights in the sky shine down on the earth. And that's what happened. Have the God kind of faith? Have faith in God? If that's meant for us, this, what he's doing right here, this is what we should be doing. And it's not that we're doing it in our own ability, in our own power. We do what he says to do, and he's responsible for the results. He's responsible for honoring his word. If we're going through a crisis, turn to him first. If he tells you to call Rob Zapka, because Rob Zapka's got all the answers to everything, call him then. But turn to God first. Always turn to him first. And then God said, let the waters swarm with fish and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that scurries and swarms in the water and every sort of bird, each producing offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 24, then God said, let the earth produce every sort of animal, each producing offspring of the same kind, livestock, small animals that scurry along the ground, and wild animals. And that's what happened. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. God knew that when he spoke, it was going to happen. And if our faith, our trust, our belief in Jesus and what he said about us as believers, we take that and we don't doubt at all in our heart, we can speak and it will happen. I'm going to land this plane. We'll keep going on this next week. But I just wanted to encourage you here today that, well, actually, through the verses that we've read here, there should have been, when we were sitting here, something stirring on the inside of us. This is what God says about us. This is what's available to us. This is the authority that we have as believers. If we turn to him first, he says that we can ask anything in his name and he'll do it. He says that the works that he did will do and greater because he goes to be with the Father, and that these things would glorify, it says here, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. He's saying that that's what's available to us. Then if we're short on cash, let's get in the real world, the practical world. We usually have cash in our pocket. I think I gave away most of mine last Sunday. Well, I got $5 left. Carrie will restock that in a little bit. But anyway. But if I'm short on cash, say, God, you said you'd supply all my needs according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. You own a cattle on 1,000 hills and all the silver and gold are yours. I need you to kill a cow because my refrigerator's a little empty right now. Speak it out. Tell him what you need. He says, ask and it'll be given. And so we just need to ask. We need to open our mouths. And we'll get into that next week about opening our mouths. And we won't call you a big mouth. I used to call one of my daughters Grand Canyon. Literally, when she opened her mouth, I mean, it was wide, and she was loud. But we never discouraged her, though. You voice it out there. But I want us to be encouraged. I want our faith to be built up. And our faith is going to be built up when we get into the Word of God. We won't have struggles in life when we get in. Not that the struggles won't come, but they won't overcome us when we have the Word of God stirring in our lives. Let's pray.